Welcome to the Ion Basketball Podcast, the Pick and Troll Podcast. I'm your host, Zach Harper. Matt Moore, as Tara Reid tweeted, "Deadmau5, me too. Without you, there's no Sharknado 2. We'll make it the best track of all time. You're so funny, I love it. Can't stop. Happy face, LOL." How's it going?
This really was the best idea we've ever had.
That's all one tweet!
She had a couple of gems yesterday. She had, with the Sharknado being on, she had a couple of gems.
Yeah, she's great.
I'm well. I'm excited for it. It's kind of we've entered back into the quiet period. It was like a ramp up to the schedule, and now it's back into. I wrote about LeBron James and jury duty this morning, which is exciting. And
sure.
Andre Iguodala looking bored, accompanying a slam ball team across China.
I had the big Beno Udrich news this morning, so
I like how the Knicks are looking. The list of guys the Knicks are looking after is amazing, and the Udrich signing is good for them, but yeah. I'm kind of like, okay, you made your good signing. You can go get Sean May right now, right? Because I really want you to go get Sean May.
I love Sean May.
Me too!
I actually really hope he gets a job. I miss him in the league.
I've watched Sean May back in the league. It'd be good.
Yeah. I was with my friend Trevor seeing Pacific Rim yesterday. He's like, so what do you do right now? I was like, not a whole lot. Like, there's really not much to do. I record a podcast, and I look for little news items here and there. We're doing off-season reports, but other than that, there's really not a lot to my day anymore. I've started running to kill some time.
The air smells sweeter. There's this thing called books. It's amazing. So you love Pacific Rim.
Oh, man.
Which is only going to make my position on it more difficult to swallow.
I am not a 3D guy. I mentioned that yesterday. It makes me car sick. I'm not even big on IMAX. Like, I've seen a few IMAX movies and I've enjoyed them, but I'm not like, oh, I've got to see a movie IMAX. But the IMAX 3D Pacific Rim trifecta was unreal. Like, really made the movie. And maybe that's a problem with the movie. Maybe it wouldn't have been as good without it. But I was very impressed with. And I, to be fair, I had very low expectations going in. So impressing me maybe wasn't that hard, but I thought it was a good action movie. We will eventually get to the Utah Jazz, everybody, just to let you know. We're only going to do about 45 minutes of this movie, and then we'll do 10 minutes Jazz.
I think a lot of it was simply that I just wanted the creatures to be better. I think that was that. I think I've localized. I was okay with the robots. I wasn't blown away by them. I think that there's only so much you can do with giant robots. Like, you can't.
Yeah.
It's hard to make them ridiculously cool.
Like, the main one was a little Voltron-y.
Yeah. A little bit. I liked some of the different weaponry that they used. And that it's just kind of like integrated into the fight sequence. Somebody noted that. That was good.
Yeah.
I really wanted some differential besides scaly blue skin, blue light, big screams. Like, I wanted some differential in the kind of monsters that popped forth from the pit.
Is there ever going to be an alien movie where they just want to come to Earth and just, like, hang out? Or is it always going to be, like, strip the Earth of its resources and then move on to another planet? Like, that's every alien movie. We gotta come up with something. Like, I know District 9 was a little different because we kind of forced it. Like, it was like a almost like an apartheid thing. Like, it was kind of like we forced
it was almost
them.
Like an apartheid
thing.
Well,
it was exactly an apartheid thing. But we forced them to, like, kind of assimilate or whatever. But like, other than
Contact.
That, Contact, yeah, I guess so. I did see a movie, like, theater trailer for Elysium, I believe it's called. And the entire time I just thought, I really wish they would just call this Contact 2.
Right.
Jodie Foster looks the exact same.
I love Contact. It's one of my favorite movies. It's also one of my brother-in-law's favorite movies. I'm excited about Elysium because it looks like an entire, like, class war analogy, which
yeah.
I think is kind
yeah,
of
like
interesting.
That.
I think it's an interesting take on it. I think you can argue Men in Black was not about stripping the resources. There was
yeah,
many.
I kind of feel like that's just a kid's movie, though.
David Cross is in two. Any movie that has David Cross cannot be considered a kid's movie.
He has, there are very few moments in any movie I have laughed at harder than when he's talking about putting cheese on the pizza bagels
yes.
in Men in Black 2. And he's like, My mom, she'll put some cheese on it. And he's like, well, she's got palsy, so she puts a lot on there. I've never laughed so hard in my life. It gets me every time, too.
Yeah, I understand why you liked it. It makes sense. I've kind of come to the conclusion that Pacific Rim is a good movie I don't like. That's kind of what I've reached. Is that it's a good action movie I don't like.
Maybe this deserves its own like bigger segment, and we should get to the jazz. But because I do have so many thoughts on it, like I could have a whole podcast on this. There were like plenty of moments where I'm just like, eh, really? But overall, I was very impressed with the action sequences, and it was a little weird that the monster, like there were a couple of monsters that just looked like sharks.
Yeah.
And it was like, really? They designed them to look like sharks, or they just happen to look like sharks? Like, I don't really understand that part of it. And then there was a very Independence Day feel to the ending of it.
The one that spit acid? I like that one. That one was cool.
Yeah, that one was cool.
Spoiler alert.
Sure. Spoiler alert. There's one that spits acid.
Spoiler alert. There's one that spits acid. And that's a lot like the jazz.
Oh! Look at you with the segue.
By the way, in 2011, the Utah Jazz traded Darren Williams for Derek Favors, Devin Harris, Cash, a 2011 first-round pick that became Enes Kanter, and a 2013 first-round pick that became Gorgui Jang, which they sent to Minnesota along with their other pick for Trey Burke. So really, for Darren Williams, you can say that they got Favors, Harris, some Cash, Kanter, and Burke.
Well, and then they flipped Harris for Marvin Williams.
And they flipped Harris for Marvin Williams. So you can say Favors, Marvin Williams, Kanter, and Burke. That's a great haul.
It's a great haul.
Like, that one holds up. I'm doing a piece this morning that I want to get your thoughts on. It kind of ties up both the Nuggets and the Jazz. And I looked at what those two teams, the Nuggets and the Jazz, got for their superstars. The Nuggets end up coming away with Wilson Chandler, Andre Miller, Gallinari, Mozgov, Quincy Miller, and they get the Knicks 2014 pick, but they have to send the whichever one is worse. So if the Knicks have a better season than they do next year, which we assume that they will.
Yes.
That pick goes to Orlando.
Okay.
For Iguodala, who they of course lost.
Right.
If they kept Iguodala, it would have been Iguodala, Chandler, Miller, Gallinari, Mozgov, and Quincy Miller. That's a great haul.
Yeah, even without Iguodala, that's a pretty good haul. I mean, I guess it depends on how Gallo comes back from the knee injury, ultimately, but that's not bad.
It's true.
And then you look at what Orlando got for Dwight. I mean, everyone's high on Vucevic. He had a great second season, which is almost like his first season because Doug Collins didn't play him. They got Mo Harkless. Maybe I can't remember the exact specifics, but maybe the maybe Tobias Harris trade kind of came because of that deal. Like, if you factor that in, that's a good haul for Dwight. Trade your superstars. I say trade all your superstars. Miami should trade LeBron right now.
You're always gonna do better than getting it that way.
Yep.
There's no way you can lose trading a superstar.
Right. Yeah. That's the trend now. Is that you trade your superstar, you get a good haul.
I'm looking at what they got. Okay. First of all, the Magic traded Earl Clark, Clarissa Duhon, and Dwight Howard in that deal, so that's a win for you automatically.
Yep,
they also moved Jason Richardson.
Yeah, which was a bad contract.
They got Aflalo, Harrington, a 2013 second-round draft pick, and they got the Nuggets pick next year, which either one of the Nuggets or the Knicks. They got a 2017 pick from the Lakers.
Right. Which actually might not be bad.
And they got Harkless, Vucevic, and a conditional future first rounder.
Yeah.
That's a lot of picks. So it kind of depends on who they end up getting.
Right. But even if they just get rotation guys, it's not bad. And you assume they'll move Aaron Aflalo around at some point.
Yeah. So anyway, one of the things I was looking at with this Jazz thing is I was looking at – so the Jazz and Nuggets basically after those trades had what I called the win now, win later approach.
Yes.
Which was we're going to keep a playoff team together built around young talent. So we're not going to sacrifice – we're not going to go old just to try and make the playoffs. We're going to have a young team, but we're going to have a sizable amount of salary. But we're also going to have a lot of pieces that we can move and trade later to be able to make upgrades. And if a superstar comes available, we'll be able to jump on it. And they were in that position for 2 years. The Jazz fell back this year and decided that they had to go ahead and go the full rebuild road. So they're not doing a total rebuild, but they're basically going back to it's Hayward, Cantor, Favors, Burke, and maybe Alec Burks, depending on how he works out.
Right.
I realized that they have five guys. They have a starting lineup of young players they can essentially build around. I was like, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
The Nuggets, meanwhile, were doing the same thing and have everything set, and then after Stephen Curry set their franchise on fire,
right.
Now, you know, they're really kind of stuck in mediocrity, no man's land, potentially. Now, they could, again, we talked about this yesterday, they could surprise us. My question for you is, do we consider that win now, win later thing to be a bust, and you've got to do either the slash and burn, go back to nothing and start over, or push forward with what you have in order to try and contend? Or was it were those successes in the idea that they were in position to acquire a superstar? One simply never came available to them other than James Harden and Howard, who the Rockets managed to have the assets to get.
Right. I am of the opinion that you're either building toward a championship or you slash and burn. I mean, it kind of depends on – you have to look at the lay of the land with players coming in.
Right.
And try to determine how strong of a chance you have of picking up a superstar in the draft over the next. I would say you have to give yourself 3 years to find a superstar in the draft. I think to just say, oh, you have to do it next year and pick up that guy next year. Now, I think realistically you can do like 2 to 3 years, as long as you show that you're acquiring assets and preparing for that kind of purge of assets and that acquisition of a guy through trade or free agency or whatever. But I believe in the either go for it or slash and burn. I don't like the treadmill teams, as I call them. But in terms of these specific situations, I think it's hard to argue that they executed their plan poorly. I mean, you look at what the fact that they got Cantor, Favors, and Trey Burke for Deron Williams, that's an incredible haul. I mean,
yeah.
Favors alone in a couple of years could make that an even trade. Not saying he'll be as good as Deron Williams, but with the value we put on big men and everything, especially a defensive big man who can finish and rebound, I think that could end up being a good haul. I like Cantor a lot. I think he's kind of figuring out how to make up for his lack of athleticism. I'm big on Trey Burke. I think he'll be a really nice player. I kind of liken him to Kyle Lowry, who I like a little bit. I like Kyle Lowry a little bit, but
a little bit,
yeah, just a little. But I think if you're smart about it, which I think the Jazz were smart about it by getting out of the Deron Williams situation before it really became something where it killed his trade value, and not in the sense of nobody wanted him, but people knew that the Jazz had to get rid of him. They kind of got in early. The Nuggets weren't able to do that, but they had a GM who was pretty good at trading, who figured out a way to make it work. In these instances, I think you can do the win now, win later thing and kind of make it work for you.
I think that probably I realized that if Ujiri was still in charge in Denver, I would still feel very good about where the Nuggets are.
Yeah.
I would still be like, you know what, they can still – because think about it. If you package Ty Lawson and JaVale McGee for a guy – if there's a superstar that just like, I hate organization, I want out of here, I'm done. And he's willing to go to Denver. That's the hard part. But if he's willing to go to Denver, and you offer, you're like, "Hey, I'll give you Ty Lawson and JaVale McGee." Most teams are going to be like, "Yes, and thank you."
Yeah, let's say Kevin Love wants out, and Denver is a situation he wants to go to because Masai Ujiri is there. They'd trade Ty Lawson and JaVale McGee for Kevin Love, right? And then move Fareed for another guy to put next to him,
right?
Like I think if that situation came about, like that's a win for them to be in that in that kind of position to make a move like that. The problem is, I think the problem with the Jazz is, how do you get that guy there?
Oh, I want. We haven't discussed this because you and I have argued about it so much. Al Jefferson, Paul Millsap. What's the verdict on this? I'm open to this conversation.
Yeah, I still think it is. I think it's.
They didn't get sign and trades for either one.
Right. I think it's kind of a wash. I'm surprised they didn't get a sign and trade for Millsap. Jefferson, I get. I'm really shocked that Millsap wasn't a sign and trade. I still don't know what that's the problem, is I still don't know what the offers were. I guess even if you get a second round pick, then you've gotten something for them.
Right.
Before the trade deadline, but
maybe no one offered anything for them. Maybe it was like, I won't even give you a second round pick. Maybe that's possible.
Yeah, probably not, but maybe it's possible.
But I say this in the piece, which is you have to judge a decision based on the information available at the time.
Yeah.
So if at the time you were confident that you were going to be able to get something for them later, and you could not get anything better than a second round pick for them at the deadline, then that'd be a good enough reason to not keep them.
Yeah, I think that. I mean, I don't. I think it's a swing and a miss for them. The fact that they didn't get anything in a sign and trade, like they didn't do a sign and trade for either guy, but I don't think it's an egregious mistake that they didn't trade him at the deadline.
Well, you can look at it as this: it was the right decision not to trade them at the deadline, but they simply were not able to execute when they needed to in free agency to get the sign and trade that they needed.
Yeah, like even if they had gotten John Jenkins.
Right.
For Millsap, like that's a good move, you know. Like who knows if that would have even been on the table because they had the cap room just to sign it. But if you could get $2 million more or whatever, or $1 million more, or whatever Jenkins' salary is this year, I kind of feel like Millsap would have done that.
And don't get me wrong, they they're clearly in. They took on Richard Jefferson and Biedrins.
Yeah,
they took on both those contracts, so. You know, they want to keep costs down, and I'm fine with that. And they've got an okay roster. I also noticed they only signed two guys in free agency.
They got John Lucas and who?
A guy named Ian Clark.
Oh yeah, Ian Clark, Summer League MVP.
Oh yeah,
Summer
League Championship guy. That's who he is. Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
Went nuts.
So there you go. Maybe that makes the entire thing worth it.
Sure. Why not? Ian Clark's he was the talk of the summer. Well, he was talk of one game.
We're talking one game. Also, they got Brandon Rush in that deal with the Warriors.
Yeah, like if he's okay from his knee injury, which was that was ugly.
Yeah,
I like him as a role player.
It's been a full 12 months, so there's a really good chance that he's going to be okay.
Yeah,
so
that's a nice pickup.
If you're looking at their starting lineup and you're going down the list and you're saying Trey Burke, Alec Burks, Gordon Hayward, Favors, Cantor. And then you've got Brandon Rush, whoever.
Marvin Williams,
maybe Rudy Gobert, John Lucas. Like that roster is not going to win 40 games.
I think they're a pain in the ass, though.
I think they're going to be a pain.
Yeah. Like, I mean, the future's still not clear with this Jazz team, but I like the core. I still think they need a superstar. Maybe Favors develops into that. I don't know. I mean, I don't think so, but... He could maybe be a second guy, but that's a nice young core.
On Burke either. Let's give Burke that.
Yeah, that's true.
It's possible if Burke comes, like there's, because like I was saying at the draft, there's going to be one guy in this draft that you're going to be like, holy crap.
Yeah,
so,
these point guard, like in the league now, like if you're a point guard who can score, you can kind of shoot up the ranks a little bit.
So I think they're going to be tough. I think when you look at their offseason. I do like that they at least decide on a path. I like that they weren't, that they didn't go out. Like, I was worried they were going to be like, okay, we're going to let Paul Millsap go, but we're going to re-sign Al Jefferson and Mo Williams. And I was going to be like, oh, God, come on, guys.
Maybe that's the win for them, is that they didn't feel pressured to sign. They keep flexibility. They have two big expiring contracts on the books. Well, I guess three. You can move Brandon Rush if you wanted to. I would keep him personally. But maybe that's the win, is that they keep their flexibility. Moving forward, and I get, you know, Houston showed you have flexibility, you acquire assets, like you can make a move down the road. Now, who knows if that'll be easier for or as easy for Utah to do in that market, which you know, I'm sure a fun place to play, but it's just not a city NBA players seem to love, or at least most NBA players seem to love.
I would say this. I will say, well, I'll tell you this though. I think the players that have been there have a better experience in Utah than they do in Denver. The guys that have played in Utah, if they have played there, they do love it.
Yeah, I mean, that is the game in town. So I guess they're looked at in a little bit higher regard than, I mean, you know, the Broncos rule Denver, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You're probably always playing second fiddle.
And whatever, you know, if you, and some guys, it's kind of the same thing as Portland, where a lot of guys really like Portland because it's a nice city. It's a beautiful place.
Yeah.
It's clean. And when I say it's clean, I don't mean that from just like the streets being clean or whatever. I mean, like, it's very well upkept and stuff like that. Like, you're not going to, it's polished and new, and the affordability of it being smaller, that allows it to be so. So I think it's kind of got similar attributes to that, versus Denver is very much like a metropolitan city that's just isn't one of the major markets. That's it.
Yeah. I mean, personally, I love Salt Lake City. I love the whole state of Utah in terms of like I've driven through it a few times over the past couple of years, and it's beautiful. It's a lot of fun. Salt Lake, the Great Salt Lake itself, quite disgusting. With all the fleas and on the brine shrimp and everything, like, disgusting to go to the Salt Lake. But everything else is beautiful.
When I went to Wyoming for Yellowstone, I was freaked out because I come from Arkansas, where of course all the lakes are very muddy, and if not muddy, then they're filled with, you know, redneck trash. And the level to which the water in Wyoming was clear freaked me out.
It's disarming.
It's the clearest water I've ever seen.
Yeah, I feel very vulnerable there, just because it's like, oh, this is kind of what things are supposed to look like.
Exactly. Here are the guys that the Jazz got rid of this year. Al Jefferson left in free agency to the Bobcats. Yes. Damari Carroll left in free agency to the Hawks. Paul Millsap left in free agency to the Hawks. Earl Watson left in free agency to the Blazers. Mo Williams left in free agency to the Blazers. Randy Foy got traded to the Nuggets in a sign and trade. Kevin Murphy got thrown into that deal going to the Warriors.
Yeah.
Like, they didn't bring back any of their veterans. They just didn't bring any of them back. That's such a bold move. We saw this from a lot of teams this year where they just didn't do anything in free agency, and I love that. I love that there are teams that are like, we're just not going to spend. It's okay.
Yeah, right. It's always disappointing when you see a team where the cap room is just burning a hole in their pockets.
Yeah.
You know, like it is kind of – maybe that's the new CBA kind of starting to round into effect a little bit.
And it's great because it's a win on both sides, because we get to see teams like this, and yet I still feel like there were a bunch of contracts handed out that were kind of ridiculous. And so we have both ends of it. We get to make fun of teams, and there are teams that didn't do this. I mean, think of it. Look at this. Here's this number for you, okay? If they decline all options for the 2014-2015 season, which they won't do, Derek Favors is going to be doing an extension.
Right.
Enes Kanter, that's a team option. Gordon Hayward, they have a guy that they're definitely going to retain. Alec Burks as well, but without any of their options, they have $8 million on the books for next season.
Good God.
$8 million, and I'm pretty sure most of that is non-guaranteed.
Is that U.S. currency?
With all of their options, if they keep everybody, if they were just like to enter into restricted free agency with Favors or whatever, it's only $16.7 million.
Huh.
Yeah.
That's a lot. That's a lot of hooch.
They have buttloads of cap room.
Yeah.
So, and it's pretty impressive for them.
Somebody will want to get paid. Like, this was always the question with the rebuild that, you know, I had with the Cavs, and it's like, you know, after LeBron left, it's like, oh, we're going to have all this cap room. It's like, yeah, but who wants to go there? And the response was, somebody will want to get paid. And, you know, that's kind of true. Like, do you think Cleveland was Andrew Bynum's ideal place of employment 2 years ago? No, right. but they were willing to pay him. Like, they were willing to give him, you know, possibly $24 million over the next 2 years. And there is that kind of allure where you might get a guy like that. And if you get a guy like that, you know, that can pay off dividends.
How many wins do you think for them next year? Well, we'll get to that when we do preseason stuff. But I think we're both on the same page, which we like the fact that they didn't bring back anybody that they didn't need to, and they've kind of decided to go young, and we think the future's bright for them maybe for once.
Yeah, I think that I definitely don't see them being a playoff team. Like, I don't even think they're really in the hunt, but I think they're going to be a team, especially in the second half of the season, that you hate seeing come into town.
I'm excited for Derek Favors. I'm excited for Gordon Hayward. I'm excited for Burke. I think that's those three guys I look at as being – that's going to be a dangerous combination of guys.
Yeah, and you know what? Sleeper, Enes Kanter might challenge for, like, the rebounding title.
I've never liked Kanter. We'll see how he does. I liked him better than last year. I saw a lot of better things from him. He really has improved. So.
Yeah, he has improved. I love him as a rebounder. I really think his rebounding ability is special.
Hey, let's talk about Shabazz Muhammad.
Hey! Let's do it.
Carefully, in many ways.
My headline for him was, I called him a ladies man.
Shabazz got sent home from the rookie transition program.
Yep.
For you, the rules are you have to get permission from the camp, the guys that organize a camp, for you to have a guest over. You're not allowed to have anybody in the building in your room that isn't authorized, and he had a young lady with him, or a lady. I don't know if it's a young lady or not. Could have been his mom. Don't know. He had a lady in the room with him, and so upon that being discovered, he was sent home. Matt Barnes is very upset with this. Thinks that that's crap.
Matt Barnes is very upset right now.
Thinks that he's a grown ass man and can do what he wants. There's a number of opinions. Of course, the other side of it is people are saying this just shows you that Muhammad's a knucklehead and he's going to be a terrible NBA player. And of course, Michael Beasley was involved in a similar situation to this. And you pointed out yesterday, well, Mario Chalmers is a starting point guard for the Miami Heat, so not really is a bad sign.
Right. And Darrell Arthur, like, I don't think anybody would like say he has bad character. He was involved in that situation in 2008.
No, every indication I've gotten from the Grizzlies locker room is that he's a good dude. Yeah. So. Those, you know, so I don't think it says anything about him. I was irritated just for the perspective of it's just a couple of days.
Yeah.
That's it. Like, you just, and I understand it sucks. And the idea is, you know, these are men and you don't have the right to tell them that. I'm like, look, if you're going to a corporate retreat, you can't do this stuff. The corporation's going to be like, we're not paying for you to have a room where you're having friends over. You're not supposed to be to, you know.
Having friends over.
Don't you love my delicately phrasing things? You know, we're not paying you to have a Settlers of Catan party here at this lodge.
Sure, that's the exact language in the policy.
The policy: no Settlers of Catan parties. So I'm just of the opinion, like, look, there's things in life that we have to do for our jobs, which suck, and they have policies which we don't like, and that sucks. You got to deal with it. This is part of it. This is part of getting older. Is, you know, you have rules when you're a kid, but when you're an adult, there are still things that you're not allowed to do. You have more freedom in your free time, but during these designated hours, you have to do things which you don't like. And part of that is for these 4 days at the rookie transition program, the remaining 2 days that he had left, he couldn't have guests over. This is not hard to break. This isn't indicative that he has no control. This isn't indicative that he's a party animal. This isn't indicative that he's got no respect for authority. I will say this. Let's just say it was a young lady. Let's assume for the moment that it's a young lady, because you would have thought that if it was his mom, they'd probably be like, ah, it's all right. It's his mom. We're not going to give him trouble for having his mom.
Right.
If it was a young lady and it was a romantic encounter, I drove 16 hours across West Texas in the middle of the night to see my wife in Denver, to see the woman that became my wife in Denver for the first time. That's when I first like met her. I met her in college, but the first time I got to see her and spend time with her was in Denver. We'd been talking on the phone and online, and that kind of happened that way. And I skipped work that day. They knew I was taking the day off, but still, I bailed on work that day, and I was like racking up credit card debt to try and get out there. So it's like, that was an irresponsible decision, but totally worth it. Like, I have a life now because I made that decision. And even if this woman is not necessarily a deep, meaningful relationship for Muhammad, I still understand that when you're younger, especially I look back at the stuff that I did at his age, I did all sorts of stupid stuff for girls at his age.
Sure.
All sorts of stupid stuff. So I'm not going to sit here and act like I'm so much better than him. It's the same thing I have with this Michael Beasley arrest, actually. Like, Beasley's problem is that he hasn't learned to know better. He doesn't take necessary precautions with his lifestyle. But I'm also of the opinion, I'm just like, look, lots of people in this world do drugs. I don't do drugs. I can't. I have a 2-year-old. I can't be stoned when I'm watching my 2-year-old. That would not work out.
Makes
well
it for very me. Difficult.
Yeah, it would not be fun either. That's
no,
another that would not be fun.
You'd be very paranoid.
You'd be very paranoid. So I can't get stoned. And I'm not condoning illegal drug use in any way. No one should do that. You have laws, and you should not break them. But I'm not going to sit here and say that and look so far down at these people. Because I've been young and I've been stupid. Beasley's getting to the age where he should know better, but he's still on the underside of when I kind of starting to wisen up. So I'm not going to sit here and look down on these guys because it's so easy to do that. Like, young people make stupid mistakes, and that's okay.
The people who have defended have said, oh, this is a stupid rule. And it might be a stupid rule, but it's still a rule.
Yeah.
And you got to follow the rule. And I don't think it says anything poorly about his character. I don't think it says anything. I just don't think it says anything. Like, it was a dumb rule. No, I'm not even going to say it's a dumb rule. It was a dumb decision that he made to break a rule, supposedly hours after he had been told of the rules. Maybe he had already scheduled this acquaintance to come over. Who knows? But, like, there is, it's a nothing thing that will, if he ends up being a bust, people point to it as, see, I told you, look at this decision making. And if he ends up being a good player, no one's going to remember it. Like, no one, until this happened, or until Beasley got arrested for his marijuana thing, like, did you remember that Mario Chalmers got thrown out of the 2008 rookie transition program?
I did, but I find it hilarious. So,
like, that was something where, like, I looked it up and, like, oh, Michael Beasley marijuana issues. And I was like, oh, right, there was this thing, like, where they thought there was weed in the room during the 2008 transition program, and he was involved somehow and got fined for it. Like, but that, like, it's just, it's something he should have followed. He didn't. He'll have to pay the consequences. He'll probably pay, what, I think it's $20,000, and then he'll have to repeat it next year. He'll be the old guy in class. Well, he was the old guy in class at UCLA last year. Like, this is nothing new to him, I guess he, you know, this is the kind of thing that he's used to doing. I don't know, it's just a, if football had already started, I don't think anybody would care.
I think it's fine to make fun of him for it. I don't think that there's any reason to look down at him or say that, there's no reason to get angry about it.
Yeah.
There's no reason to get mad. There's no reason to say this is what's wrong with our society. This Shabazz Muhammad getting kicked out of the rookie transition program is not what's wrong with our society. And if he goes on and he does wind up having serious problem behavioral issues in and outside of the locker room, this may be part of it, sure, but there's no way for you to be able to conclusively link this to any of those issues.
Well,
so there's no point in talking about it.
That's never stopped the internet before.
It's never stopped the internet before. But
I thought it was funny, personally. I was like, I saw it come up on Twitter. I was like, of course. Sure he did. And then I made a joke about, oh, he's got a scorer's mentality. And that was that. That was fun. And I actually had fun because of it yesterday, so thank you, Shabazz. I thought it killed an hour for me. As I was waiting to watch
for me again,
Pacific
it's
Rim.
Just a matter of I just don't understand. Even though I've done stupid things, I'm still trying to. I wrestle with. I'm just like, hey, I'll come meet you in 2 days and we can go somewhere because I have millions of dollars now.
Right.
Like someone was talking about this yesterday, and it does deal with how men view sex, which is not always good. It's very rarely a good thing in our society, but you know, the kind of brash decisions, the immediacy of sex, you know, the immediate option of sex will do to a guy. But I'm still just like, man, just wait 2 days. Like, it's fine. Like, just hang out. She's still going to be there, man. I promise you. They don't vanish.
Maybe she won't. Maybe she's a time traveler. We don't know.
That was the best part of yesterday, is when I started talking about how we're going to make this into a rom-com. I think this is the best idea. This summer, he thought he was finding his game, but she's about to show him a whole new game.
Oh, my God.
I'm telling you, man, Kevin Hart's going to produce this thing. It's going to be amazing.
Oh, I hate Kevin Hart.
Tyler Perry production.
Yo, now you've sold me. Sold me with a talentless hack is gonna produce it. Here we go.
And we're gonna get Gene. Someone suggested Gene Hackman as Rick Adelman. I thought that was great.
Oh, that's nice.
I want Bryan Cranston to play Rick Carlisle in a cameo.
Sure. Rick Carlisle's just gonna walk by and be like, "Hey guys," and then walk away.
I said Danny DeVito. Hey guys, and he just walks out. Hey guys, I'm Mavericks coach Rick Carlisle.
Yeah.
I said Danny DeVito as David Stern because it was the first name that came to my mind. I feel like it's a little mean, but I can't think of another option. Maybe Paul Giamatti.
Ooh. Yeah,
you age
I like
Paul
that.
Giamatti a little bit, like he is in that movie that was on HBO about the financial crisis.
Could you
age
say,
him a little bit?
Could you shave John Turturro's head and make him Adam Silver?
Oh, that's great! I was looking for a Silver. I couldn't figure one out. John Turturro's perfect.
He could do it. I love him.
Yeah, that's great.
And before you start tweeting this, we know Jim Carrey looks like Rick Carlisle. We don't need it. We know Ashton Kutcher could play Kyle Korver. Like we've seen these before.
It's,
give us a
I
new
appreciate
one.
Your effort, but this one's been done a
yeah.
little bit. I will say, though, that it really caught me off guard because I actually hadn't heard the comparison very much. For whatever reason, I'd avoided it up until when I covered the 2011 finals. And then when I went to the finals and saw him up close for the first time, I was like, holy crap.
Yeah, I don't think I was aware of it until that time either.
It was distracting. I love Carlisle's press conferences. I think Rick Carlisle's a fantastic coach, and he's great with the media, even though he hates us. See, that's the thing, Popovich. Carlisle hates us, but he gives us what we want. Anyway, so I would rush up there to be, like, in front of him, and every time he would start talking, I just kept having, like, all these flashbacks of scenes.
It would have been great if you just, like, how did you feel like your pick and roll defense was tonight? And if you could end your comment with smoking, that would be fantastic. Thank you. Could you like, I need to know what you think about how they're defending Dirk Nowitzki, and if you could do it as Cuban Pete, that'd be great.
Coach, what do you think? What are the three things that people generally say to each other when they're greeting each other or saying goodbye? Good afternoon, good evening, and good night, thank you! Done. I watched Truman Show the other day, and it really does hold up over time.
I haven't seen that in a long time, but I remembered loving it.
Although, it holds up over time, except in one regard, which is the internet pretty much ruins. Like,
right.
You'd have to create an entire other internet for him.
Yeah, which they probably would do.
So now, I started thinking about that, and I started thinking about Truman Twitter. Like, having to create an entire Twitter universe inside of the fake universe they created.
It would just be like what they do with, with NBA 2K.
Exactly.
It would just be the social media button.
You know, lots of, I've noticed this, I've been thinking about these the certain phrases that you see appear on different social media accounts on Twitter. So, like, on Facebook, the one I've noticed is, doesn't get any better than that, or this. Everyone says that about whatever they're doing, and I keep wanting to be like, I'm pretty sure it does. Like, I'm
no,
sure that
it absolutely could.
Like, you're like, oh, like, you know, baked cupcakes today for 5 hours. Mmm, they smell delicious. Doesn't get better than that with my family. And I'm like, I don't know.
I know your family. It's not. That doesn't sound like a good time. I've actually done this exact thing with your family. It was awful. I just wanted to go
sorry,
home.
Sorry. It does, in fact, get better than this.
Yeah. In fact, when I went home and I just sat in a room doing nothing, it was actually much more pleasant.
Well, this thing's gone off the rails.
We're recording.
So, hey.
I thought we were just, you know, shooting the crap.
Holy grail. I'm trying to think. Tomorrow's, what, Friday? Yeah, Friday.
All day long.
I'm on the road tomorrow.
You are. It looks like I'm going after a Blazers blogger. Should be doable.
Oh.
If not, I'll just grab old Royce Young. Make him do it.
Yeah, and you know, we used to have one of them Blazer bloggers around here before you came along.
Yeah, I might try to get him too.
Yeah, he has a dry wit. He for a guy that doesn't go outside very often, Ben Golliver has a dry wit.
I enjoy being around Ben Golliver.
He's very fun to be around. He just never wants to be around anyone.
Right. You just have to trap him.
That exactly.
It's like his life is like a game of mousetrap.
It's like the old alligator hunter shows. Getting like very quiet. And Gulliver's got a
what we got here?
Troy witch.
It's a blogger with headphones.
All right, thanks, Zach. Go Jazz.
Thanks, Matt.